If you have your Bibles today, I would like for you to turn with me, please, to the book of John. The book of John. This text, I know, has been made mention of in the last couple months, a couple of times. I believe once, Brother Jason, in my absence, you preached on these musts out of John chapter 3, and then somewhere along the line, I can't remember exactly what I did, but I know that this verse was in my heart. But today, I want to look at this verse in John and talk about it as it relates to Christmas. And it's a time of the year when, if we're not careful, this will not be so in our lives, and we need for this to be so. In John chapter number 3, the Bible said in verse number 28, if you'll stand in reverence to the Word of God with me, please, for a moment. John chapter number 3 and verse number 28, the Bible said, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." There'll be much said about that today. "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." In verse number 30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." You can be seated. Pray with us a moment today. Father, I thank you today for the wonderful singing. I thank you, Lord, for the baptismal service. What a blessing it is, Lord. See people put their trust in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And I pray, dear Father, today that you would clothe us in our calling. May the Spirit of God work in our hearts and work in our lives. And God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us today to do what we can while we can. Because our Father, we know in our hearts that soon Jesus will come. Lord, we're planning on a lot of things in the Christmas season. But Lord, there's two things that could interrupt that. We could leave this world, or Christ could come to this world and take us home. And I pray, dear Father, that you will help us today, and God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I wonder today, as we think about the message, what would it take? This is spoken by John the Baptist. It was the last testimony of John the Baptist. What would it take for us to have this spirit, this attitude in our hearts, not only for a season, but especially through this season? By the way, Caleb, it's good to see you. Amen. Been asking about you, buddy. Amen. You say, "Preacher, you shouldn't say things like that when you're preaching. You leave me alone. I'm preaching. I'll do whatever I want to." Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When I look up and see somebody that I've been missing, it blesses my heart. Amen. This group of young people sitting on the front bench down here, it blesses my heart. Amen. It blesses my heart. But what would it take? What is it that caused John to have this kind of attitude where he could say, "He," and that no doubt is the Lord Jesus, "must increase and I must decrease"? Surely somewhere along the way, on a card or on a church sign, you've seen this in recent days. Jesus is the reason for the season. And yet, in many people's circles, he won't be the reason for the season. He will be completely left out. Where's John coming from? That's what I want to address today. What is it in the life of John the Baptist that caused him, in his last testimony? He's not went to prison yet. He's going to go to prison. And what is it that caused him to say these things? "He must increase, but I must decrease. And I think the same things that caused John to say this is the same thing that would cause you and I to say this in our lives. The three simple things in the message today, but number one, we must realize our purpose as God's people. We have a purpose. Did y'all know that? Amen. And if we're not fulfilling that purpose, John said there, "This my joy therefore is fulfilled." He said, because of the bridegroom's voice. If you're not hearing his voice, if you're not spending time with the bridegroom, if you're not, beloved, having that joy, there's a reason for that. Amen. And you'll never come away, if you don't discover God's purpose for your life, you'll never come away with that attitude. He must increase and I must decrease. Yesterday as I was thinking and meditating and preparing, I ran across a story. It involves Yogi Berra. Some of the young people may not have heard of him, but most of us have heard of him. He was a well-known catcher for the New York Yankees. And Hank Aaron, who at the times was the chief power hitter for the Milwaukee Braves. I looked it up on the internet to make sure that was right, because I thought the Milwaukees were Brewers and the Atlantas were Braves. Amen. But in this time frame, they were the Milwaukee Braves. And I guess back then, there wasn't nobody arguing over whether you should name a team after an Indian or not. Amen. The teams were playing in the World Series. And as usual, Yogi was keeping up his ceaseless chatter, intended to pep up his teammates on the one hand and distract the Milwaukee batters on the other hand. As Aaron came to the plate, Yogi tried to distract him by saying, he said, "Henry," he said, "you're holding the bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it so you can read the trademark." Aaron didn't say anything. But when the next pitch came, he hit it into the left field bleachers. After rounding the bases and tagging up at home plate, Aaron looked at Yogi Berra and said, "I didn't come up here to read." I could ask you a question this morning. Why are you here? What's your purpose? I didn't come here to be seen or just to shake hands with people. I have a purpose in life. And if you're a saved individual, you have a purpose in life. God didn't save you just to sit on a pew. God has a purpose for your life. And God wants you to fulfill that purpose. Let's begin to examine John's life and see if we can see how that he realized his purpose as being one of God's men. In John chapter 1 and verse number 6, the Bible said this, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." You say, "Pastor, what are you saying here?" I'm saying that John realized that he was sent. In my heart and in my mind, this is what I thought about. Do you realize that God has sent you? You say, "Pastor, I don't understand." Well, in John chapter 20 and verse number 21, "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you.'" Did you know that John was sent? That was his purpose. God sent him. I tell you, it's a joy to know that God sent you somewhere. Amen. God sends us into the world to be lights, amen, in the world. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 28. The Bible said, "Ye yourselves bear witness of me that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him." I feel sorry for people that don't understand their purpose as a Christian. God sent us. You know what we want at Bible Way? We want people that God sends to our church. Amen. You know what we want on visitation? We want people that understand their purpose, that God sends us, amen, out into the world. And that we have a purpose in life, amen, to reach others with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we sent just like John was sent, but we too should shine just like John shined. Look, if you will, in John chapter number 1 and verse number 7. The Bible said in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. In verse 7, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Listen, if you're one of these that believes that God wants these to be saved and these to be lost, what do you do with a scripture like that? God said he sent John, he wanted him to be a light because it was his idea that all men. Well, guess what? John ain't here no more. John's in heaven. So what are we doing now in 2025 and 2026, the year coming up if God gives it to us? God's looking for us to be lights, to shine as lights, to let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And if we realize that, watch what the Bible said. He said he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Look at verse number 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Here we go again. If God was planning on, beloved, listen, picking out so many for heaven and so many for hell, then why did he send the light to every man that cometh into the world? I'll tell you why he sent the light to every man that cometh into the world. So that every man could be without excuse. That's exactly why. Amen. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God sends that light and we can shine and be that light to someone who's walking in darkness in these days. Amen. We can be that light. It's the light that's inside of you. I've always thought as the children sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I always thought it'd be bigger, better to sing, this big old light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Because I'm telling you, Jesus in our hearts is big. It ain't little. Say amen. And the world around us needs to know that it's big. And we love him and that he loved us first. We too are sent. We too should shine just like John did. And in doing so, we realize our purpose in life. And then I wrote this down. We too should settle it. John was settled on some things, and I want to give you some of those things that John was settled on. In Luke chapter 21, the Bible said, settle it therefore in your hearts. Did you know that many of God's people, and I'm not fussing at you if you're one of these, but are unsettled. They're just not sure about this and not sure about that and not sure about this. God wants to strengthen us. God wants to settle us. He wants us to have some things settled in our hearts as God's people that we might fulfill his purpose for our lives. Number one, I think God wants to settle us on his plan of salvation. Are you settled on that? You say, Pastor, where do you get that in the text? Look verse number 11. The Bible said he came unto his own. And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God's plan of salvation is that you be born again. That you be born again. Born from above. Born of God. Born spiritually. Every one of us that are in this room have had a physical birth. But God, beloved, designed it in his plan of salvation that we would have a spiritual birth, that there would be a time in our life when we would realize when we look in the mirror that we are dead in trespasses and sin and we need life and we run to Calvary and ask Jesus to forgive us and he gives us life and gives us life abundantly as well as life eternal. In verse number 17, John understood. He was settled on God's plan of salvation. In verse number 17, the law was given by Moses. John knew what that was all about. But the Bible said, but grace and truth cometh by Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something about grace. You know what grace is? Grace is God giving you and I what we do not deserve. You know what mercy is? Mercy is withholding from you and I what we do deserve. Now, you cannot beat this. God withheld from you and I what we deserved and placed it on his son who did not deserve it at Calvary that you and I could experience the grace of God that we do not deserve. Did y'all get that? Amen. I'm telling you, that's the God that we serve this Christmas season. Amen. And we have a purpose to settle it in our heart. And John was settled on God's plan of salvation. Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, so that God could come along and say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We didn't need to be condemned. Why? Because we were condemned already.
Amen.
So God sent Jesus to take our cross that you and I deserved and to bear it. The Bible said over there in the book of Acts and chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John the Baptist, he wasn't unsettled on that. He said, hey, there's one coming after me that's preferred before me. He said, you don't need to look at me. You need to look at him. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And John was settled on it. In the book of John chapter 14, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Many people say in these days, a preacher that preaches like that's narrow-minded. Let me tell you how narrow-minded the preacher is. He's just as narrow as that book. He ain't getting outside of that book. Say amen. If God calls a man to preach, he calls him to preach the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us there ain't but one way to heaven. Amen. There ain't but one door. There ain't but one place you can get a drink of living water. And that's at the well of Jesus Christ. Amen. There ain't but one that said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. His name is Jesus. Beloved, John was settled on God's plan of salvation. And then John was settled, secondly, on God's purpose for the saints. John was settled on that. John said, I'm not the Christ. But you see in Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 3, who is he then? What is his purpose? He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. In Luke chapter 7 verse 27, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And I want everybody to give me your attention for just a minute. It's Christmas. And I want everybody to think about what I'm about to say. There's a whole lot going to be going on this property next week. There's choir that gets up here every Sunday. And I'm telling you, this will change your life. The way you live, I talked to Tyler a little while ago about his family. I love his family. They're precious to me. But he and his wife have a responsibility now. There's four youngins, amen, that I love dearly, amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The way you live is preparing the way for somebody else. When we get in the choir and sing, you change the way you sing. It changes the expression on your face. If you realize you might be up there preparing the way for somebody else. The preacher, brother, might be preparing the way. The Christmas play can be preparing the way for to help somebody to get to Jesus. If we would only get on our face before God and say, God, help me to be just a little part of the preparation, getting somebody to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Settled on God's purpose for the saints. You say, how many can go back in your life and you can think about the people that God used to prepare the way? Come on now, raise your hand up there. God used somebody to prepare the way. Amen. Brother Jason, you were talking about Brother Allen and talking about that jam session that he had, that bluegrass. He said that kept him out of a lot as a teenager, amen, because somebody showed an interest in him. And that's why he can play anything with strings on it, amen. He got around some people that knowed how, amen. And I'm telling you, every one of us has got somebody in our life, whether it's a mom or a dad, a brother or a sister or a pastor or a friend or a co-worker that God used to help prepare the way to get us to Calvary. Now God wants to turn around and use us to prepare the way for somebody else. You see, I didn't mean to say this morning, but here it comes. There's two schools of thought that are extreme. One school of thought is over here. Over here, God does it all. We ain't got nothing to do with it. God does it all. Over here, it's like a high-pressure salesman. You're talking somebody into doing something or praying something or saying something. Both extremes are wrong. Right in the middle, beloved,
Here's where God wants us, reaching out with one hand and getting the Savior, and reaching out with the other hand and touching the sinner and introducing them to each other. Amen. That's our part. Amen. Amen. Somebody said a soul winner is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Glory to God, I found bread one day. In the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Billy Sunday said this. He said, more men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent. Think about that. More men fail through lack of purpose than lack of talent. Listen to what C.S. Lewis said. He said, the glory of God, and as our only means to glorifying Him, the salvation of human souls is the real business of life. Amen. We have a purpose. He must increase. I must decrease, because I understand. Listen to what John Wesley said. He said, I want the whole Christ for my Savior, and the whole Bible for my book, and the whole church for my fellowship, and the whole world for my mission field. That's what John Wesley said. I tell you, if you missed Wednesday night, you missed a great big blessing. We had a missionary here that's going up into New England. There's towns with 80 and 100 and 150,000 that don't even have a Baptist church in them anywhere. Amen. And God's put it in his heart. I texted Brother Ron this morning. We'll be supporting Brother Ron. He's worthy of support because he's got souls on his heart and on his mind. Amen. God's going to help him. Amen. I'm looking forward to that precious relationship. Not only was John settled, he was settled on the plan of salvation. He settled on his purpose, God's purpose for the saints. But he was settled on God's power of the Spirit. Let me show you what I mean. Look in John chapter 1, verse number 32 to verse number 34. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. You see, I talked about that extreme and this extreme, but when you're standing speaking to someone about the Savior, about salvation, about their soul, there's something that's absolutely necessary. You see, you and I, as God's people, myself as a pastor, a preacher, I have the ability to speak to your ears this morning. That's all I can do is speak to your ears. But you see, I know the one that can take what you're hearing in your ears and take it all the way down in your heart and make a difference. And so that's what we need. John understood when he was preaching. Amen. You remember the babe, John. He leaped in his mother's womb when he heard the announcement about Jesus. And there are going to be a lot of dead-headed Baptists all the way through Christmas season. And John just heard that he was going to be born. And he leaped in his mother's womb. And the Word of God said he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He understood the need to be full of God, the full of the Spirit of God. John chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? By the way, if I had never heard the term born again, I'd be asking the same question. What you talking about? Amen. That's going to hurt mama. Amen. 6'2", 200, none of your business pounds. I said, that's going to hurt mama. Amen. I wouldn't know how in the world that's going to take place. Amen. And Nicodemus didn't either. And you and I wouldn't either if we didn't have a Bible that explained it to us. He said, you must be born again. Watch this. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. There's lots of ideas on what that scripture means, and I'm not going to fall out with you over. But I believe in the context, it's pretty simple. There's got to be a natural birth, and there's got to be a spiritual birth. Some use the water as the word of God, and I'm not going to fall out with anybody, amen, because the Bible did say that we're born again by the precious word of God, amen. But look what the Bible said here. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is, here, look at the context. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Now listen to me. I'm not trying to confuse anybody, but I'm telling the truth right here. Your name can be on every church roll in Kingsport, and you can die without God and go to hell. You can be baptized in every water hole in Kingsport and die and go to hell. The Word of God said, you must be born again. There must come a place, a time, when you see yourself a sinner. Oh, Brother Mitchell said, you got to take sides with God against yourself. Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. You're the Savior. I'm the sinner. And here comes the sinner needing a Savior. And when you come to Jesus like that, beloved, you can be saved by the grace of God. You'll be born again. He was settled on the power of the Spirit. Well, listen, this next part ain't going to take too long. That was the first point out of three. The reason I stopped like that, because some of you wasn't praying, but you are now. Amen. The second thing, not only do we need to realize our purpose as God's people, but we need to assume our position as God's people. You say, Pastor, what did John do when he assumed his position as God's man? Look at John chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse number 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. The Bible said here, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. What about John's position? Let me tell you about it. It was a position of humility. God's not going to use a man or a woman, a boy or a girl that's eat up with pride. Amen. Christmas is about Jesus. It's about Him. It's not about us. Amen. It's about Him. And when we assume our position as God's people, look at John chapter number 3 and verse number 27 and 28. Look what the Bible said here. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Brother Rick, we don't have nothing that wasn't given to us. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above. Amen. And John realized that. He realized, man, I'm nothing. Everything I have, everything I am, God gave it to me. Amen. That's a position of humility. The Bible's talking about over there that some people, you know what they do? They think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Let me stop and say something this morning. This church will do fine without me. You want to know why? Because I didn't buy this church. Jesus did. This church will do fine without me. You want to know why? Because it ain't built on me. It's built on the rock. It's built on the rock of ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I tell you, you get to thinking God can't do it without you. You're in a mess. Amen. I'm telling you, God can do it without you. He can do it without me. But we ought to rejoice because we get to be a little part of what God's doing in these days. It's a position of humility. Then it's a position of honor. Look at John chapter 3 and verse number 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Let me say something to you this morning. John realized this. He wasn't the bridegroom, but he got to be a friend of the bridegroom. You know what you and I can do? Brother Jason is preaching, teaching about Abraham this morning. The Word of God said he was a friend of God. Ain't that a worthy goal? Ain't that a worthy goal, Brother Billy, to be called a friend of God? Just to be a friend of the bridegroom. It's an honor. Amen. I'm not the bridegroom, but I get to be a friend of the bridegroom. Amen. It's an honor to be a friend of the bridegroom. And then it's a position of helpfulness. Are you looking for somebody to help? There's all kinds of people that need help. Look at John chapter 1 and verse number 23. Listen to what the Bible said. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Did you know that you're the voice of one? But you are the voice of one? Do you know what Jesus said to his disciples? They were worshiping and they were praising and they were crying out. And his disciples were kind of concerned about all that noise. You know what Jesus said? He said, if these would hold their peace, he said, the rocks would cry out. Did you hear that? Honey, I don't... Glory to God. They're down. They're down here. I don't want no rock taking my place. God didn't save this rock. He saved me, turtle. Amen. Amen. That rock ain't going to heaven, but I'm going to heaven. I'm going to rejoice in the goodness of God. God's been good. Amen. The voice of one. Will your voice be used to help others this Christmas season? That's part of your purpose. Amen. Somebody hear you griping and complaining. You say, where would that be? That'd be with the average Baptist. Griping, complaining. It ain't hot enough. It's too hot. It ain't cold enough. It's too cold. There ain't enough. There's too much. You ever been around somebody like that? Amen. All they can do is gripe. All they can do is complain. But that ain't going to help nobody. Ain't going to help you. Ain't going to help nobody listening to it. Our voice needs to magnify the Lord and His goodness. Amen. If we'll do that, God will certainly help us. We need to assume our position as God's people. It's a position of humility, a position of honor, and a position of helpfulness. I want to help others. And I thank God for a church that wants to help others. Amen. I thank God for a church. That missionary came through, and man, the offering was absolutely tremendous on Wednesday night. And listen, that's the heart, amen. That's the heart of God. Help others, amen. Jesus come down here to help us, amen. And John knew that was his position as one of God's youngins. And then the last thing in the message today, we need to realize our purpose as God's people. We need to assume our position as God's people. You want to be used this Christmas season? You'll never be used in your pride. You're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to ask God to use you. You're going to have to realize you can't do anything without Him. By the way, you can't even breathe without Him. You can't even breathe. I've heard my dad witness to people, and I've heard it over and over and over. I've heard my dad say this. He say, take in a deep breath. Somebody take in a deep breath. He said, now that one's yours. He'd say this, Brother Chris. He'd say, the next one belongs to God. He can give it to you, or He can take it away from you. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the Bible. The Bible said it's in Him that we live and move and have our very being. Amen. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Is breathing something? Well, without Him, you can't do it. Amen. We depend on Him. He's a good God. Then we need, lastly, not only to assume our position, but we need to have the right priorities as God's people. You say, Pastor, where does that come from? This is very simple. Little phrase. He must increase. I must decrease. It's not optional. That needs to be our priority, amen, if we're going to fulfill the purpose of God for our life. He must. It's not optional. Increase. More about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of the one who died for me. He must increase and I must decrease. You know what happens when a church forgets their purpose? Let me tell you what happens. I read this. It said, sign on the door. Gone out of business. We didn't know what our business was. Gone out of business. You say, now, Pastor, I can take you right down Stanley Valley. Church sign. Closed. You know what happened? Somewhere along the way, somebody forgot what they're in business for. This is God's business. Jesus said, wished you not that he told his mommy and daddy at 12 years old that I must needs be about my Father's business. My Father's business is the souls of men. And the day that the church is not about reaching others with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you might as well push the pews back and turn it into a dance hall. We've lost our purpose. Our purpose is to preach the gospel. Our purpose is to reach the world. Our purpose is to send missionaries. Our purpose is to go in the highways and the byways and compel people to come in that God's house might be filled. That's our purpose. And it needs to be a priority. Or one day there could be, you say, that could never happen at Bible Way. There are a whole lot of churches that had that attitude, and it happened. I won't say it'll never happen. I will tell you what I will say. By the grace of God. By the grace of God. Over 50 years ago, some people got together. We've only got 3 charter members left. Brother Ralph and Sister Shelby and Sister Gladys Sconce. We've got 3 charter members left. Years ago, the people got together and started a church. They believed God wanted to do something on this hill. And can I tell you something? 13 years now. Before that, Brother Jack, over 30 years, God's doing something on this hill. Amen. God has a people. And God wants his people to know you have a purpose. Amen. You have a purpose. He must increase. I must decrease. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you today for the word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege to share the gospel. How that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture. He was buried. He rose again the 3rd day according to the Scripture. And Lord, according to the Scripture really is all that matters. I'm so glad, Lord, that you've given us a purpose in life. It's not about us. It's not about our church. It's about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that every time the choir sings, every time, Lord, we do anything around here, it would be for your honor, for your glory. Because, Lord, that's what you bless. Lord, we pray now that in this invitation, this time of invitation, we pray, God, that you'll speak to hearts. Lord, I know that there are those here that have been thinking about it. Maybe today, Lord, they would surrender to the call of God. You're knocking at their heart. Maybe today they would open their heart and say, Lord, I need you. I don't want you standing on the outside of my life anymore. I know that I've sinned, and I want you to come into my heart and life. I want you to save me. God, I pray for Sister Kathy and her family over there, Castlewood, today. Mary and her brother-in-law, I pray, God, that you'll help that family, Sister Jeanette. I pray, God, for those in the hospital, Marge and Nita. I pray for Shelby and Ralph, Lord. God, for the others that are homebound, Brother Charlie and Sister Wanda, for Sister Thelma. God, I just pray today, Lord, that this Christmas season you'd make our lives a blessing to our precious people. God, we'll give you glory.